Stroud back here with you. We're coming to you on this fine morning with a little preview for something new you can expect in your podcast feeds throughout the winter. Welcome to Off-Season Coffee. This is a new audio-only podcast that's going to be hitting your feeds every Saturday morning during the winter once the postseason comes to an end. Wanted to record an early preview of what this might be like for you guys. If you're a Jets fan or a subscriber to Badlands, heavily inspired by something that those guys do over there, specifically Joe Caparoso, during their off-seasons, he does a little thing called Sunday AM Coffee. Which is just kind of meant to be, you know, a little bit of a casual, loose kind of show, you know, maybe sharing some thoughts or musings that I've had throughout the week that don't make it to the full podcast. Also want to give people an outlet to just like ask some questions where I can answer like one or two one-off Q&A questions every week. And yeah, just like 10, 15 minute quick hitter to listen to while you enjoy your coffee every Saturday morning. I know that's one of my favorite rituals every weekend. First time on the feed, honestly, since the aftermath of the Mets 2025 collapse, where I talked to Tim Britton from The Athletic. And a couple of things have happened since then that I wanted to talk about. First thing was just, you know, we can't let it completely go, right? That the Yankees and the Phillies finally got eliminated from the playoffs. You know, the indignity for the Mets missing the playoffs in 2025 certainly stings and will be felt for some time. And part of that sting was definitely, you know, the grief that we had to get as Mets fans, right? Specifically from Phillies fans and Yankee fans, especially after what happened with Juan Soto last winter. By the way, Juan Soto has now been off the Yankees longer than he was on the Yankees. So hopefully those guys can maybe get over their ex this winter. But, you know, they talked all that shit and you turn around and neither team gets to the championship series. Neither team got particularly close. The Yankees get stomped in the ALDS after they escape the wild card round and they lose in four to the Blue Jays. The Phillies, all that they did, and you know, they had a significantly more successful year than the Mets. I'd much rather have their season for sure. But they're a division rival and they talked a lot of shit when the Mets got eliminated, and mostly their fans. And you know, they win one more playoff game than the Mets and they lose in four to the Dodgers, and they lose in a pretty pathetic, embarrassing Metsian fashion in the end.
Hands up high, the 0-1. Swing at a broken bat, comebacker. Kirkring knocks it down, picks it up, throws wildly home to the backstop. And the season is over. The Dodgers rushing out past Orion Kirkring, who stands with his hands on his knees, bent over.
I'm going to take my full enjoyment of that. Welcome to Cancun to those guys who've, you know, both sides have already been eliminated for over a week now. And it is, I will say, a very pleasant experience to have your hate watch end so early. Most of the time when the Mets, you know, either don't make the playoffs or they get eliminated, it becomes hard, especially for me, to watch the rest of the playoffs and enjoy any part of it, just because, you know, I can't root for these division rivals or the Yankees. I can't do it. I am a pure hater at heart, and until those teams are gone and eliminated, it is like a burden on me, as if not as bad as if the Mets were playing, but it is stressful and I'm not able to enjoy the playoffs or watch the playoffs in certain years because of that. So the fact that I can kind of sit back, and I think a lot of Mets fans probably feel this way, sit back and actually enjoy these baseball games and not really care too much about the outcome, though I would love to see a team that isn't the Dodgers win again this year, but really just have no stress and actually get to enjoy playoff baseball with zero stress because of my team or any other team that I hate. That's a nice thing that doesn't happen too often. This is actually the first time since 2018 that a non-NL East team was in the NLCS. So every year for the last 7 years, it's either been the Mets that I was stressing about getting this far or a team that I absolutely despise. So good riddance to the Yankees and Phillies. Good luck to those teams trying to figure it out. Both teams appear to be running it back with their coaching staffs, their front offices, maybe even their rosters. The Phillies have the oldest team in baseball. It's only getting older. Dave Dombrowski decided to say some interesting comments about his best player, Bryce Harper, in their postgame or their postseason press conference, where he said, you know, he might not be an elite player anymore. So I'm sure that should be pretty interesting. And they've got some key free agents. And then the Yankees, they had a great pivot plan for Juan Soto, but they have not adequately been able to fill his role. And most of the guys that they acquired, other than Max Fried, are now set to hit free agency as well. So, you know, they're going to have to once again try to fill that void and get over the hump that they've been unable to get to. But that is not our problem. Their seasons are over, and they're right here with us. So, welcome.
Dale, the Yankee lose. The Yankee lose.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Oh, hey, let's do it again. The Yankees lose. The Yankees lose.
Yankees lose. Let's go, baby.
Aside from that, you know, in the last week or so, we've had some coaching changes, which we really expected, obviously. Carlos Mendoza sticking around, which I think is the right move. I was definitely more 50-50 than I thought I was going to be on that, but I can't fault the Mets for trying to stick it out for one more year. We've kind of had two extreme seasons with Mendoza at the helm, so I'm okay with the process of giving him a third, seeing how that goes, and really making that the linchpin season and seeing if he's going to be the guy moving forward or not. But, they did have their purge of the coaching staff. John Gibbons technically resigned. You had Glenn Sherlock retire. And then, you know, Jeremy Hefner, Eric Chavez, and Jeremy Barnes, among a few others, were fired. Not entirely surprising. I still thought Hefner might survive this, but, you know, if the team's not going to make huge moves at the manager or in the front office after a collapse like that, and they're not necessarily going to blow up their core, I think, you know, there was going to have to be some bloodshed somewhere, and the coaching staff made the most sense for that. So ultimately not super surprised about that. Jeff Albert, who has been in the organization, gets promoted. They're calling him like the director of Major League Hitting, but he is essentially the hitting coach. They will bring in a second hitting coach, apparently. And then Kai Correa, who spent time on the Guardians and the Giants, was hired to be their bench coach. Brandon Tierney, who didn't know who Kai Correa was 2 days ago, for some reason thinks that this means it's a vote of no confidence in Carlos Mendoza and that his job is on the line, which I know I shouldn't even be mentioning WFAN, but, you know, sometimes I can't help it. And sometimes people say really stupid things, and it's hard for me not to completely ignore it. But, you know, that's the coaching staff situation. Also, apparently, you know, Antoine Richardson was invited to come back, among a couple other coaches. According to some reports, had some potential contract disputes this past week. I don't know if this is just a negotiation thing. You know, it was being reported that supposedly he could look elsewhere. If you're the Mets, you know, I don't know what Antoine Richardson's asking for, but it's a first base coach. You know, there's only so much that he's really going to ask for. And when your owner's worth $20 billion, you know, you can't give the guy a couple extra $1,000 or whatever it is. Again, it's a first base coach salary. He was one of the few coaches, if not the only coach this past year, that made a noticeable impact on this team. You figure it out, you pay him what he wants, you bring him back. All right, we're going to close out with just a couple of Q&As that we got from a few people on Twitter. This first one is from James Flippin. He asks, is it possible for managers to improve their craft? AKA, can Mendoza learn some new tricks? Hopefully he reevaluates this horrific season and the way the team seems so flat and unmoved and figures out a new approach. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that it's possible that, you know, that a manager can improve on their craft. You know, obviously, Carlos Mendoza is a guy who's a little bit later in his life. I think he's in his mid-50s, but this, he's entering year three of being a major league manager. And I like to think everybody in any job that they hold, as the longer they're in that job, the more comfortable they're going to get, and the odds of them improving go up. Obviously, there are exceptions. There are people who struggle in those roles, who maybe aren't meant to be in that spot. And Mendoza still has something to prove there for sure. But, I definitely think it's possible. I think we've seen managers grow into the jobs, whether they're staying in an organization or they're getting another opportunity. This is a guy who seemed to do very well trusting his gut or going by the analytics in his first year. Obviously, that special magic touch did not seem to exist last season, but we've seen it from him before. So I think that is definitely possible. It's just like he has to prove it, right? He has to actually go out and do it. It's certainly in the realm of possibilities, and I'll be rooting for him to do it. This next one is from Patrick Bogle. He asks, this lineup is gearing lefty heavy. If they keep Beatty at third base, puts an extra need for keeping Pete at first. If they lose Pete, what are the serious options to balance out the lineup? This is actually a really good question from Patrick. I was talking to one of my buddies earlier this week about this and saying, one Pete Alonso leaves scenario that I would actually be okay with, and this is what I had said to him initially, was, you bring in Kyle Schwarber, he plays DH, and then you bring in a Josh Naylor, who's still a good bat, but also a plus defender at first base, and you kind of wind up in almost a better, at least production-wise, situation and improve on your defense. And his point, which I hadn't even thought about, was, this lineup's getting pretty lefty-heavy already. You have a switch hitter or two, but you've got Soto, you've got Lindor, you've got Beatty now. At the moment, you have a Jeff McNeil, though I suspect he will not be here next year. There's a lot of left-handed bats. Are you going to take away a big-hitting righty and then put in two more lefty bats that are going to be playing every single day? And I think that's a valid point. And I think it does, put some emphasis on keeping a Pete Alonso, because, there's a couple big lefty power bats like a Schwarber, like a Naylor, who can replace that. But when you go to the right-handed side, at least in the free agent market, it drops off a cliff pretty quickly. You're talking about Eugenio Suarez, who's more of a third baseman, and then you wonder, what does your infield alignment turn into if you bring him in? He's also getting a little bit older. And then it's guys like Ty France, and you might be able to sell people on replacing Alonso with a combination of Schwarber and a Naylor or another right-handed batter. But, if you're replacing Pete Alonso with Ty France and Ryan Clifford from the minor leagues, that's something people are going to be in an uproar about. And I think rightly so. So, it's definitely a good question for sure. And it's going to be a really interesting offseason. The Mets can go in a lot of directions, and I'm honestly really interested to see how that's going to look. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to this first preview episode for Offseason Coffee. This first one, we're making available for free on the Patreon and our paid podcast feeds in the future. When we launch for good in the next couple of weeks, this will be one of our Patreon exclusives. So stay tuned for more of that and some exciting announcements for the future of the main podcast in the next couple of weeks. Until then, enjoy your coffee, enjoy your weekend, and let's go Mets.